Hello, listeners. This is Bob Main. Welcome to today's Survival Show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live the life you want and strengthen your resolve. You know, there's a lot of power in having choices. One of the reasons why people get into a panic situation is because they have a problem and they don't have any choice and they have no way that they know of out of it. How many times have you talked to somebody and they have a problem and you think they're going down the wrong road to solve that problem, but they say, well, I don't have any choice. And that's what we're going to talk about, and that's what today's survival is all about, is helping you find ways to have choices to solve your problems. Got a good show today. Some of the topic matter that we're going to talk about is how to use some modern technology that's out there for survival reasons. We also want to talk about, I got a Ronald Reagan quote for you, I think is very applicable. And I'm going to do my usual segment on numbskulls and notables, somebody who I think is a just doing things in a real numbskull way, and I'm going to talk about what that means. And then some people who are doing some really notable things, really neat guy I want to talk to you about when it gets to the notables section. So let's start off with a quote from President Reagan. I think this was in 1986. I was looking it up. This is pretty applicable here. President Reagan said, each generation goes further than the generation preceding it because it stands on the shoulders of that generation. You will have opportunities beyond anything we've ever known. Wasn't President Reagan correct on that? Every generation seems to take things a little bit further, or at least we should. You know, we should learn from our past and apply it to the future. So I wanted to share that Ronald Reagan quote with you. Couple of announcements before we get into the topic matter. The forum, the Today's Survival Show forum, is located at www.todayssurvival.com/forum, or you can just go to todayssurvival.com and click the forum link. We've had quite a few new members join the forum. There's some real good discussion going there on just how to live a more secure life. And even if you don't want to take part in the discussion, you can at least go to the forum and just read what people are saying. Our listener count for this show, I'm excited. It seems to grow every single day. The number of people who are subscribing to it is growing, and the general number of downloads seems to be growing. So thank you for your time in listening to this show. I promise that I will make the very best of your time because I know it's valuable. Today is Sunday, August 16th. I normally don't do these shows on Sunday. In fact, I probably rarely will, but I've got a lot of intense business traveling coming up on Monday and Tuesday, and I wanted to get this recorded and get it posted so you can start your week with it. I'm taking a drive right now to head out to a shooting range to go on a weekly basis. I typically go practice my Second Amendment rights and practice my self-defense techniques, so I'm going to take a little bit of advantage of some windshield time and bring you episode number 7 of today's Survival Show. You know, I want to take this moment here right after the announcements to talk about and address some comments that have been made about some of my previous shows. And if you go to the blog, you'll notice some of the comments that were made. So let me address those. I think it's important that you know that there are four people who have primarily inspired me to do today's Survival Show. I want to tell you about those four people and make some comments about them. The first person that has inspired me to do this and has really motivated me is God. I am a man of faith. This is not a religious show, and I will at no point ever impose my religious beliefs upon you. But I think it's important you know that that's first in my life. The second person is my mentor. My mentor is a man named Tom Hopkins. I had the pleasure from 1986 to 1993 to work for Tom Hopkins. If you don't know who he is, he's a world-renowned sales trainer and motivational speaker. And I was one of his top people for 4 out of those 7 years, and I really got a lot of good training. I spent 7 years doing public speaking 3 times a day, at least about 45 minutes each day, 3 times a day for 5 days a week. And one of the things that Tom told me right before I left him was that to take what he taught me, to take his training, and go out and do something good with it. So this is my platform, and Tom motivated me to go out and do something good with it. The third person that has motivated me and inspired me to do this show is a gentleman named Randy Croft. Randy's one of my good friends in Oklahoma City. He is the co-founder of today's survival show, and you probably won't hear Randy behind this microphone very often, but I can promise you that Randy is a major contributor to the content of this show. The last and certainly not least person who inspired me to do this show is a man named Jack Spierko. Jack Spierko is the host and producer of the Survival Podcast. And that's what some of the comments that were made were about me copying and parroting Jack's show called the Survival Podcast. So let me go ahead and address those comments. The best way that I can address those is to talk about the five steps in the learning process that most people go through. And if you're a survivor and you're learning survival techniques, this is going to apply to you. And I got this from Tom Hopkins in my training. And I think when I explain this to you, you're going to understand why some of those comments were made, and hopefully the people who made those comments and Mr. Spierko himself will understand exactly what happened. So you might want to get a pen and paper and jot this down. If you need to hit pause right here, you might want to do that and or come back to this. But the five steps in the learning process that I learned from Tom Hopkins was, number one, impact. If you're going to learn something, if it's going to inspire you, it has to have a positive impact on you. And, you know, if you notice, the more interested you are in a subject, the more easily you remember details about it. The second step in the learning process is repetition. Repetition is often called the mother of learning. If you repeat anything often enough, it starts to become part of you. Little repetition never hurt anybody. And sometimes when somebody says the same thing as another person, sometimes they say it in a little bit of a different way, and it has a different impact on you. So think about that. The third step is utilization. You know, this is the basic law of using it or losing it. You know, one of the great things about skills and knowledge, you don't lose skills and knowledge when you use them. They don't wear out with use. Fourth step in the learning process, internalizing. Internalizing occurs when you've completed the first three steps, impact, repetition, utilization, and you've molded the material and made it your own. This is where I think I made a mistake. I listen to a lot of Jack's shows, and they're great, great shows. Folks, if you don't have a chance to, when you get a chance, go to thesurvivalpodcast.com and listen to some of Jack's shows. I listened to a lot of them, I internalized the information, and it became part of me. Well, when I started doing some of my earlier shows, some of that material that I had internalized was coming out. And I in no way meant to steal, rip off, or parody Jack's show, as some of the comments that were made about me. It's just that that's what I had internalized. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the best I can to make this show my own and change the style up a little bit, and you're going to hear Bob Main coming out. But it was the internalization process that made it just start to come out. So to Mr. Spierko and to his listeners, I apologize. I'll admit the mistake. I don't have any problems admitting mistakes. So there you go. It was in no way meant to steal or rip off that show. The fifth step in the learning process is reinforcement. Going back to the basics. And again, this is kind of like using it or losing it, but you got to reinforce. You know, so when something in the survival arena hits you and it has an impact on you and you say, hey, I think I like to do that. That's something I need to do in my life. There's the impact. Okay, the next thing I'd suggest you to do is listen to it a couple different times, two or three different times. If it's one of my shows, if it's one of my first six episodes and there was something there that had an impact on you, go back and listen to it a second time. Then start to utilize it. Then internalize it, make it your own. You know what's interesting about the internalizing process is once something becomes part of you, people are going to notice it. And they're going to start saying, hey, you seem to be a little bit different lately. They may take that in a positive way, and they may take it in a negative way. Folks, let me tell you something. The more successful you become, the more you start to change your life. At first, the fewer friends you're going to have. I'm serious. Especially when you start to become more successful. I became very successful with Tom Hopkins from 1986 to 1993. Made a lot of money. I was a young guy. I blew a lot of that money, unfortunately, but I learned those lessons. However, the fewer friends I had, and Tom Hopkins was very right about that. Temporarily. Then you'll start to gain new friends, and you'll start to gain a lot more of them who think like you do. And I think you notice if you visit our forum, it continues to grow. It's because we're developing new friends. I consider the people in the forum my friends. And you'll find that you'll get different types of friends, but be prepared. Your circle of influence at first is going to get a little bit smaller. Now, another comment that I want to address is some people also made some comments about my Twitter username, which is Modern Survival. I'm going to give you some truth and some facts about that. The truth is I signed up for the username Modern Survival on June 27th, 2009. I didn't launch Today's Survival blog or Today's Survival show until July 3rd. When I signed up for that Twitter username, some of the people say, well, I stole the username from Mr. Spirko. No, I did not. That username was available. It was available on June 27th, and I was trying to figure out a way to portray my message in a modern, common sense, up-to-date manner. So I chose Modern Survival. I had never looked at the forum at Survival Podcast. I'd never looked at the forum. I did not know who was using Modern Survival, if anybody. I certainly didn't know that that was Mr. Spearco's username on his own forum. So I wasn't even paying any attention to that. I was just trying to come up with an attractive username on Twitter. So there it is. That is the truth. And as Winston Churchill said about the truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, which is, I think, what's happening here. Ignorance may deride it, but in the end, there it is. So you just got the unvarnished truth from me about the Twitter handle. So I think that's all I want to say about that. Hopefully that has answered some of the questions about the comments. And folks, I don't mind comments. I don't mind positive or negative comments. Any way that I can make this show better, I am open-minded to. So keep the comments coming, positive, negative, I don't care what. This is your show. If you're listening to me, you think I have something good to say, great. You know something else Tom Hopkins taught me? Take the best and leave the rest. And he used to say that about his training. You know, not everything I'm going to talk about is going to apply to you or appeal to you. That's fine. It's okay. Take the best, leave the rest, and I hope that the best has a positive impact on you. All right, so let's move on. Let's do the Numbskulls and Notables segment of this show right now, because I got something neat to talk to you about. The notable person, I want to start with that. I was watching the Mike Huckabee show last night, and he had a guest on his show by the name of Zach Sunderland. Zach Sunderland, at the age of 16 years old, he's 17 now, Zach Sunderland, at the age of 16 years old, sailed around the world solo. Okay, sailed around the world solo in 15 months and 2 days. Now, an interesting fact is that there fewer people have sailed around the world solo than have gone to space or climbed Mount Everest. And this kid did it at 16 years old. Gosh, I mean, that's amazing. And I think back to what I was doing when I was 16 years old. Wow. I mean, for this kid to do that, that's notable. This kid is a survivor. Another interesting fact about that is they said that he went through, he went almost 60 hours at one point on his trip, 60 hours without sleeping. Thought that was amazing. Of course, a little easier to do, I guess, when you're 16. But anyway, even still, that's tough. So, you know, very well-grounded kid. It was just unbelievable to see this young man on Huckabee's show. And he said the next thing that he wants to do is he wants to dirt bike across the United States. More power to you, Zach Sunderland. You get the Today's Survival Show Notable Award. And now, for today's numbskull. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. On January 17th, 2006, Nancy Pelosi was holding a town hall meeting in California. She was giving a lecture, and she was talking about the war. And it was kind of a war protesting rally. Nothing wrong with that. This is America. You can protest the war. You can protest anything you want. That's your freedom of speech right to do that. One of the things that Ms. Pelosi said in that town hall meeting is, and I'm going to quote the best I can here, she said, "So I think all of you who have spoken out with your courage and your point of view, your advocacy is very American and very important." And she was talking about the people who were advocating shutting down the Iraq war. She said that their advocacy was very, very important, and it was a good thing. And later, when protesters started getting a little bit riled up in the meeting, she said, "Hey, I appreciate what you're saying. That's okay. That's okay." Quote, now, roll the tapes forward to about August 4th or 5th, can't remember which day, of this year, 2009, with the health care debate going on. All the town hall protesters that are protesting this ridiculous attempt by the government to take over health care, make no mistake about it, that, in my humble opinion, is what it's all about. All of a sudden now, Nancy Pelosi doesn't quite like some of the loud voices at the town hall meeting anymore. You know, she kind of made a backdoor comment about some of them being Nazi-type people. You know, come on, Miss Pelosi, what's the deal? You liked the protesters when they agreed with you in 2006. You don't like them now. Hypocrite. That's all I'm going to say on that. Nancy Pelosi gets the Today's Survival Show Numbskull Award. So with that, let's move into the main topic that I wanted to talk about in this episode, and that is how to use modern technology for survival and emergency situations. A lot of survival shows and a lot of blogs tend to worry a lot about what happens if we lose power, what happens if we lose our cell phone reception, satellites go out, things like that. Those are all very legitimate scenarios. And as a matter of fact, Jack at the Survival Podcast has a lot of good episodes about alternative sources of power, alternative sources of energy, so you might want to listen to some of those. Those are all valid concerns, and those are things that we should be preparing for. But that may not always happen. And I want to talk about things that could commonly be scenarios that we encounter. We still may have cell phone service. If there's a disaster, if there's a tornado or hurricane or whatever, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden internet and cell phones are gone. So we're going to talk about how to use some of what we have today that, if it's still working, how we can use them in emergency and survival-type situations. So the first piece of technology I want to discuss would be today's cell phones. Today's cell phones are pretty neat devices. Most of them are more powerful and have more capabilities than some of the first computers that we had. I mean, my iPhone, 16 gigabytes of storage space, and the processor is far better than the first computer I had. Cell phones are a gadget that the original James Bond would have traded his jetpack for. And let's talk about how you can use your cell phone even if there's no cell phone service. You know, if you got a BlackBerry or something like that, or even an iPhone and so forth, you can save copies of documents on either your SIM card or your memory card. I think it's called a micro SD for BlackBerries. You can password protect cell phones so that nobody can access it. If you lose it, you know, they have to have the password to be able to access it. But the most important thing is there's a lot of things that you can save. You can save emergency plans, evacuation plans, account numbers, if you wish, to the memory on your phone. You can take it with you everywhere easily, so it's kind of like portable documents on the go. And again, like I said, save them to the hard drive. One of the nice things about the iPhone is that the hard drive, or there's no SIM card really that is easy to remove. And so the interesting thing about the iPhone is that when I save something on it and I've got mine password protected, if I lose it, it's not going to be really super easy for somebody to access what I have on there. Now, I wouldn't suggest, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking privacy. You know, I understand that. I wouldn't, you know, if you don't feel comfortable about leaving a particular piece of information on your cell phone, then don't do it. But whatever you do feel comfortable about saving on there, put that on, because it's portable and it's easy for you to access in an emergency situation. And to access what's on the memory card of your phone, you don't have to be connected to the internet or cell phone service to do that. The other thing you can do is use the notes or the voice notes feature on your phone. You can document, for example, you know, let's say you have a confrontation with an angry ex, or there's somebody that's causing you problems. Record a voice note about that. Record the event itself, if you got the presence of mind to do that. The beautiful thing about by storing any media or doing anything like that on your phone is it's time stamped and date stamped. So if you ever have to use that later, you know, you get recorded data as to when that event took place. Don't forget about the camera on your cell phone that can be used to take pictures if you're involved in a car accident. You can take pictures of the vehicle itself, the tag number, you know, the VIN number, whatever you have to do. Also, taking pictures of your kids. You know, we all have pictures of our family on our phone, right? Well, you know, there's a way that you can use that if there's an emergency situation. One of your kids is missing, it's easy to email that picture to the media, to authorities, you know, so they've got hopefully an up-to-date picture of who's missing. You can get Amber Alerts. Now, this is where you're going to need to have cell phone service, obviously, but you can get Amber Alerts texted to your phone. You can get severe weather alerts, storm tracking. We're going to talk about some of the abilities that you've got and some services that are out on that in a few moments, but, you know, your situational awareness. You can increase your situational awareness just by some of the features that you can access with a common cell phone these days. So learn all the capabilities of your phone, especially those that don't need active cell phone service or internet service. Another feature I'm not sure if you're aware about, it's a feature called MyCast. MyCast is a subscription. You have to pay, I think it's like $4 a month or something like that. But MyCast displays animated NEXRAD radar, weather radar. You can get hourly, all the way up to 7-day forecasts. You can watch storms. You can watch weather developments throughout the United States, your local area. Most importantly, it's very intuitive. It's very easy to use. I know a friend of mine that uses this. I've actually seen it used on a phone. And especially in severe weather events, MyCast is a good service. It's available on most of today's cell phone plans and most of the major wireless carriers offer it. I think it's something like around $3.99 a month, somewhere like that, and it can be billed directly to your phone bill. Also, the phone is an extraordinary survival tool for kids. Get your kid a phone. You know, and it's up to you, parents. You know, it's up to you, parents, whatever age that you want to, you know, get your kid a phone. But you might want to think about starting by doing this. Only program in numbers into the phone that that you approve of him or her calling. You can program your phone so that it'll only dial whatever numbers that you want to allow him or her to dial. I think there's probably even phones that you can buy that do just that. And then put it into a water-resistant case and hang it around their neck and make sure that they have that with them wherever they go. It's an extraordinary survival tool for kids, and the way things are out there today, folks, with my 11-year-old son, I'm not taking any chances. Next piece of technology that I want to talk about, and I did a blog post on this, it was one of the very first ones I did last month, is Twitter. Twitter is, you know, typically a social networking site, and a lot of people seem to use it for that, but there's a way to use it as a survival tool, as a method of communication. You know, you can send a message out to family and friends, you know, when the stink hits the fan. You can use it to activate your emergency plan, set up rallying points. You know, consider this. You're in an emergency situation. Your family's scattered all over town or scattered all over who knows where. You can use Twitter to update them on which emergency plan to implement. You should have several plans. You should have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. You should have rallying points. And then tweet them to let them know which plan to implement. You've also probably heard about Twitter updates that even done things like help people resolve customer service complaints with airlines. Well, you know, there's all kinds of creative ways that Twitter can be used to get the word out, especially in emergency situations. Again, now I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what if the internet service is out? What if everything's out? Okay, then you can't use this. All right? But like I said, that's not always going to be the case. You could still have internet service. So use all the tools you have available to you. Again, you don't want to make this your primary method of communication in an emergency. You know, you need to have backup methods, you know, walkie-talkies, two-way radios. You remember the elections in Iran several months ago and all the rioting and the protesting after those elections? Twitter was used to get information out of Iran, to get it to the United States, to get it to the media. It was a source of information that for the rest of the world to hear about what was going on in that country, and there wasn't anything they could do to shut that down. You know, if all that stuff can be done using Twitter, you can get creative, very creative with it. You can use it as a very useful transfer of information rather than just chatting. Today's Practical Survival is about getting creative, folks. And this is a chaotic world. It's the creativity of the human spirit that's going to help you thrive, not just survive. I also want to talk about another piece of technology called Google Latitude. Google's a great company. Don't you love Google? No wonder their stock's $460 a share. Their stock's been doing pretty decent in the last 5 years or so. Wish I'd have bought some. Google Latitude can be used on your phone or on your computer. It allows a mobile phone user to find locations of people who have subscribed to Google. You can also use your use Google on your PC. You can track people. You can find out the location of where they are. Again, you might be thinking, well, privacy. Well, I'm going to address privacy issues that that Google has actually addressed. But, you know, think about this. An emergency situation. You can jump on your computer. You can jump on your cell phone. You can open up Google Latitude. You can see where your family members are located. Now, the user can control the accuracy and the details of what other people can see. An exact location can be allowed, or it can be limited to just the identifying city. So it's really up to the user. For privacy, it can also be turned off by the user. Or a location can be manually entered. You know, think about this. If your kids are lost, as long as they've got the GPS feature activated on their phone, and they're signed up for Google Latitude, you can look up to see where they are. Grandpa gets lost when he's driving. If he's got a cell phone, and he's got a cell phone with GPS technology, and you've turned it on for him, because Grandpa probably doesn't know how to turn it on, you can see where he is. Now, for privacy matters, Google has announced that Latitude, it overwrites the user's previous location with the new location data. So when you look up to see where they are, it's overwritten and it's erased the previous location, so it doesn't keep logs of locations that have been accessed previously. You know, again, think about this. In an emergency, tornado, hurricane, or a disaster that you've used your MyCast, and let's say there's a weather disaster and you've used your MyCast, you know it's coming, you can instantly find out where family members and relatives are. Facebook has also a feature called Facebook Mobile. Facebook Mobile helps you get the word out to friends and relatives. You got a lost child or whatever, it's easy. It'll send them updates. It'll send them messages to their phone if they're hooked up on Facebook Mobile. So that might be another service you want to look at. Facebook Mobile. Let's talk about when not to use technology, in my opinion. President Obama has been pushing lately to the tune of about $19 billion in the recent stimulus package to put medical records online. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that because of privacy, plain and simple. There's all kinds of things that you can do if you're diabetic or you have some special needs or you've got some kind of allergies or whatever. You know, wear one of those bracelets. You know, the government's got a proven record of not being able to keep information secure. You can look that up pretty easily on the internet, but they can't even keep nuclear secrets at Los Alamos safe from meth addicts and all kinds of people. How can you trust the government or any company to keep your medical records safe online? I think it's a very, very bad idea. You know, I think the medical records is definitely something we've got to keep private. And some of the pinheads that are putting together this this health bill, there's some very, very scary provisions in there that just way too much of an invasion of our privacy, folks. Another thing I wouldn't do, I would not put Social Security numbers online. I wouldn't put Social Security numbers on your cell phone, anything like that. I don't care if you have LifeLock. That's kind of a neat commercial, and I've heard a lot of good things about LifeLock, but God, it just makes me nervous. Just, I mean, identity theft is one of the biggest problems in America today, and I don't know. Maybe if somebody can change my mind about LifeLock, if some of you have some success stories about that, send me an email, put it on the forum, send me a comment. Maybe you can change my mind about that kind of stuff. But I'm really leery about just putting stuff online and throwing important numbers around. I don't even think I would put bank account numbers in a real public format either. There's a lot of other things that I don't mind putting out there. But gosh, Social Security numbers, medical information, stuff like that, I'm not big on. But you know, the bottom line, the message I'm trying to convey here is don't ignore modern technology tools. And you know, again, as I mentioned in the beginning, this is your show, and I'm gonna probably expand a little bit more on this after I do a little bit more research in episode number 8. But I'd like to hear from some of you. If some of you have some other ways and ideas that you can use modern technology and some of the technological advances that we have out there in order to use them in a survival situation, I certainly would like to hear about it. So send a comment, put a comment on the blog, send me an email, jump on the forum and put something on there. I'll probably start a new thread about this on the forum here probably by tomorrow. And that just about concludes episode 7, but there's something else that I want to talk about. I want to kind of set up episode 8. I've had some people sending me some emails suggesting that I talk more about concealed carry handguns and expand a little bit more. A lot of people enjoyed the episode that I did on how to buy a used handgun online and some of the things to look for when you get a used handgun. It actually motivated one of the listeners to go out and purchase a gun for defense. So, all right, I love it. And she's going to be getting her concealed carry license pretty soon. So in the next episode, I'm going to touch a little bit on some of my take and my opinions on what to do once you get your concealed carry license. I think a lot of people make big mistakes after they get their license in the way that they carry, the methods that they carry, how often that they carry, and again, I'm going to give you, I've been carrying now since 1984. I'm sorry, 2004. What am I thinking? I have my license since 2004, and there's some things, and as you know, I'm a regular shooter, and there's some things that, some views that I have on what to do about concealed carry. And one of our forum members is a pistol defense instructor, and he's written some very good information on what to do after you get your concealed carry license, and he's given me the permission to use it. So I am going to do just that, and I'm going to add some of my own flavor to it. So again, that concludes the show. Be listening to episode 8 for that, and thank you again for your time. A short show, but hopefully you've gotten some good value from it. And this is Bob Main with another episode of Today's Survival Show, helping you harness the power of choice to live the life you want and strengthen your resolve. Thank you for listening. Catch you next time.